Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Hey folks, unless you've been living under a rock, you know about batteries and how important they are, especially for all the new tech that's coming out. And I have a very special guest today. Brian, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, you come highly recommended. Dr. Heyman referenced you and he said, you got to talk to this guy. So Brian, we'd love to learn a little bit more about your story before we dive into batteries that power drones and all kinds of stuff that you're talking about. How'd you get into business?
Yeah, so my background, physics, bachelor's, master's, PhD in physics. Thought I was going to be in R&D my whole life. My dad was a 40-year R&D guy at DuPont, and I went to work for big companies. So first DuPont, and then Milliken. Milliken's about a $5 billion textile company. When I got there, all the leaders of the billion-dollar divisions had PhDs in chemistry and chemical engineering and physics and other things. And I'm like, well, how do I get to be one of those guys?
Yeah.
I realized that the technical part was only half the problem, maybe even less than half, but it was only part of the problem. Innovation actually involves getting something all the way to people who care to use it and can benefit from it. And so I put myself on a kind of a self-mentoring track to learn from these guys, and figure out what the other part was, and became really interested in kind of the whole problem. And then at some point jumped ship and became an entrepreneur. And that's a whole different story, but,
Let's talk about that, because, when I went over to Cedarville, I won't say who, but somebody came up to me and said, oh my gosh, I could never be an entrepreneur. You guys are just, you are so different. You take risks and you're just different, and I could feel the professor that told me that kind of, he was not wired to be an entrepreneur, but you're using parts of your brain in physics and stuff that people would say physics and entrepreneurship. Like, I don't know. Talk to us. Can those mix?
Yeah. So my dissertation was entitled Disorder in Molecular Magnets. And whoa. So I knew that skipped the molecular magnets part, but I joke that at one point in time, I was one of the world's foremost experts in disorder. And that actually, understanding and being comfortable with kind of disorder and how things vary and how averages move, which is how markets move, right? I could apply that very broadly to market information, to other things. And so, learning business, right? It was something that I was obviously, I'm curious and I'm a curious person. So that was interesting. But there was a time when I had someone who was encouraging me to be an entrepreneur, and I just told him I wasn't ready, that I felt like I was a good number two, that I could support people and help, but I wasn't ready to lead. But then while I was at Milliken, they kept giving me kind of progressively more and more responsibility until next thing I know, I'm in charge of a group of 20 researchers. I'm the interface between them and the businesses. And I realized I could lead, right?
Wow.
So once I got good at my job, I left, right? Which sometimes is the way God leads you, right? He trains you to do the next one. And when you're good, it's no longer challenging for you. So you go move on to the next one.
Let's dive into that though a second, because I love leadership. That's what my dissertation was on. And it sounds like you were almost a reluctant leader, or maybe put it this way, perhaps you didn't aspire leadership, but other people saw it in you and called it out of you. What was your style?
That's exactly it. I never have and still don't aspire to be a leader of people. I have no ego attached with having any of that. I am a change agent, and I always have been a change agent, that I see things, I try to understand them, I see what needs to be fixed and not fixed, but maybe adjusted. And what happens is I end up starting something to go change, And then next thing I know, there's 15 people working with me trying to change the same thing.
Wow.
And so it's, I will kind of say I'm kind of a visionary and I'm a good communicator when I see those changes that are necessary. And that's what it was with all my startups was, you know, that I saw something that needed to be fixed and I couldn't do it from where I was. So I started something to try to fix it.
That's interesting. Yeah. I think biblically I've always been fascinated with the dichotomy of Saul, who, when he is anointed king, he's hiding, you know, in the baggage. In other words, here's a guy who did not want to be in leadership, was actually literally running from it. Yep. And yet God felt that it was time to, you know, highlight him. But then you see this change in him where he goes from reluctant to almost an unhealthy relationship with leadership, where it's like, I got to be in the spotlight. Nobody else can. How do you guard yourself? Because you have had success. How do you guard yourself?
So I had that happen. I started a startup in 2004 to make a ballistic fiber for our troops that were in the Middle East. It was going to go and
just easy stuff, you know, like paper clips.
and it was going to armor up the vehicles, but be about half price compared to the ballistic fibers that were out there. And also easier to scale up, which we could make a billion pounds a lot easier than you could make a billion more pounds of the stuff that was out there.
Wow.
And we built a plant, got it running, and then got out of the wars. And during that time, my focus was on, let me just say, I started to attach my ego to the size of the company and to the money. Mm. And a couple things happened. I mean, we ran out of money. Because I was focusing on the money, I had invited a bunch of people into the company, both as employees and as investors, who didn't share
values.
My values. That's right. Yep. And so it turned into this massive conflict. At the end, I got removed from the company. As soon as I got removed, I was the person that everybody trusted. So they all started suing each other. And here's what happened. As we're coming up to this time, I was praying to God. And here's the thing. I was telling God what he needed to do. Right?
Never smart, right?
No, and it was because it was about me. Mm. And
oh yeah, I've been there before. I've told God my plan.
And at some point I humbled myself and I said, okay, telling you what to do isn't working. Mm. So why don't you just fix it and tell me what to do?
Interesting.
And he lifted me out of the company by firing me, stuck me over somewhere else that was a much better place, imploded the company in a flurry of lawsuits, right, that went on for half a decade. And everybody's suing everybody, and I'm just a witness. Every now and then they call me in as a defendant just to keep me from, to make me a witness on their side, right? They never actually wanted it from me.
Wow.
And then what happened is the company went on to be very successful. I then got to start my work in the battery industry, and for a period of 3 or 4 years, it was a desert moment, and God was right there with me. It was absolutely me being disciplined. But I point to that period of my life as one of the times when I was walking the closest with Jesus. And it was formative for me. And it's why the companies now, I view these companies, and there's a couple, as God's companies, not mine. I'm a steward for a season, and I want them to live past me. We're careful who we invite into the company now. And it doesn't mean you have to wear a cross on your neck to be able to be an employee here, but it does mean that you have to know what the words humility are. And so we have some things that we interview for, which are biblically based, but don't require individual faith. And so you
touched on something here I want to talk about. The desert. And I think that's so important. In fact, Brian, one of my most rich seasons.
Yep.
Oh, you know, you can see this here. 10 responses when you're in the desert.
Yep.
And basically, God took me to one of the Psalms, and literally, man, I felt like I was in a desert for a long time. I think God shows up in the desert. I think that you look at any movie that we love, you know, the hero's journey. I mean, the people God used, I think it was either Tozer or Oswald Chambers said that before God can use a person greatly, he must wound them deeply. And you're not going to find that on a Hallmark card. You're not going to find that in the store. That's not pop Christianity. But that's what I'm hearing from you, Brian, that God had to take you in a season of isolation, and yet isolation from the outside noise, but yet community with him. Is that what happened?
It's exactly right. But there was a time when everything bad that I valued was taken away from me.
Yeah.
And I was left with him.
Yes. And yeah. I love that. It almost tells me, I mean, I know we got a dozen or so listeners, even just on one channel, but a lot of people are going to watch the replay and this will be shared to hundreds. So I just want to reach out to the person who's watching and saying, well, crud, I'm in a desert and it doesn't feel good. And God's removing people and comforts and familiarity. But I don't know if you would agree with this, Brian, but there's a Psalms are popping in my head today, but not from the east nor from the west comes exaltation, but from you. And so, like, I hear what you're saying, man. Like, we can chase success as entrepreneurs, but it's empty. And you chase God. And I don't know. What do you think about that? What do you think?
Yeah, no. So it absolutely 90-degree phase shift in my decision-making process that I now look to find first what's God's will in any situation. And it doesn't always, you know, it doesn't always come in a very transparent way. And so, you know, as an aside, I in the last 6 months have logged about 250 miles hiking through the woods alone.
Wow.
Stay alone, but alone with God, right? And this is
there you go.
Miles at a time. And I just take a problem or take a situation up there with me and I go wander around the mountains. So it's a lot of time for me to spend trying to figure out, you know, decisions. And it can be anything from employees to customers to strategic. And it's weighing the earthly facts that I know, holding them up against the biblical examples that I have, and trying to also just listen to God and create some quiet in my mind to let him kind of speak into things. And it's a completely different, and here's the thing, I get tons of advice. Yeah. Sifting through to the good advice is hard.
Yeah.
Right. And sifting through to the godly advice is hard.
Oh, that's right. Good. That's and good.
So you want many advisors, but it doesn't mean you listen to them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Well, listen, I'm a publisher. So I just realized your next book, Hiking Alone with God or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but, but I'll tell you what, I mean, I think there is a book there because, I used to heard of a book, Jesus is My CEO, but I mean, I hear what you're saying. I mean, you're saying that like literally your wisdom, your success is coming through your direct line with God and that personal time. So let's jump into it because I don't want to run out of time. Let's jump into what is your business? What problem are you solving?
Yeah. So batteries are essentially just a way to store a lot of energy in a small place.
Mm.
Then you can have that energy on demand for whatever it is you want to do, whether it's to power a phone or to ride a bike or whatever, or run your car. But the problem is when you put a lot of energy into a small package, you got to keep it there.
Mm.
It can come out kind of explosively. And so battery fires are rare. Your cell phone has a 1 in a million chance, literally, of spontaneously igniting and setting your desk on fire.
Mm.
And because of that, we're not afraid of our cell phones. They're well-designed. They're manufactured to high standards. An e-bike, on the other hand, that chance is about 1 in 1,000.
And really?
The fire is 50 times bigger than what you get with a cell phone. So it'll ignite a room immediately. And it happens in the course of less than 30 seconds that it'll ignite a complete room. And so the challenge there is New York City, as an example, has 250,000 e-bikes and 1 in 1,000 of them catch fire every year. So 5 times a week, the New York Fire Department sending 4 and 5 trucks to a building to put out a fire that is, you know, on fire within 30 seconds, right? So they don't have time to get there before it's done or before it starts. And so that's the problem we've solved.
That's interesting.
Come up with a way to reduce that by at least a factor of 50. And it's patented technology, like it's on the screen. And now we're trying to figure out how to get it implemented as broadly as we can. And I'm going to say something that's going to be unpopular among some people, but the way to make the most money with a technology like ours is to design a really high quality, really high performing battery that's the safest battery out there, sell it as a premium only to kind of the Mercedes and BMWs of the world, charge a very high price for it. And I think that's kind of evil to leave all the Chevy drivers out of the picture because you want to make a bunch of money. Sounds kind of evil. So we, as part of this, and this is where God led me from to a different business model through a near failure. So he took me to, we always joke as a startup CEO that you can almost run out of money as many times as you want, but you can only run out once, right? So we almost ran out, pivoted our business model completely to one where it's a broad-based licensing business model. Everybody gets access to the technology. And we started a consortium of now 120 companies that are helping us build the supply chain to get this out to the whole industry. And our take is a small royalty, 1% of the cost of the battery. Nobody's going to not use the technology because it's 1% more expensive if it's 10 times safer. And that's kind of what it is. We would take it from 1 in a million to 1 in 10 million. We think we're going to take it from 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 10 or 50,000. And 1%'s reasonable, right? So that's our, you know, the business model is built around the biblical principle of helping people. What you've done to the least of these is written somewhere on the walls here. It's one of the principles of our company, the helping people, which we quote Matthew 25:35. If I got that right, I'm terrible.
Sheep and the goats. Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's the what you've done to the least of these when you've helped.
Yeah.
I think it's Matthew 25:35.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's where people are saying, where did we feed you? Where did we help you? And then Jesus says, when you've done it. I get you.
Yeah, that's right. So we want the technology to be available to everybody. And we think safety is one of those things that the entire industry should have access to. But here's the thing, as an entrepreneur, if we can get this to be pervasive, like the airbag is pervasive, and we collect 1% of the cost of the battery, that is an amazing return, financial return on the investment that we're making. And so it's both a good financial return as well as getting it out to everybody and doing good in the world.
Saving lives. Yeah. Well, and I would say with the growing, you know, Elon Musk-ish Jeff Bezos world. Yeah.
Its cord right now. Hair dryers are dropping their cords. Shavers are dropping their cords. Bicycles are getting batteries. Everything is getting energy and dropping a cord. And there's a battery involved in that. And so batteries, so the firemen, when they go into a house, they talk about walking past a bank of power tools and discussing that as unexploded ordnance that could block their exit. If it goes off while they're in getting a person, if those go off, it could block that room from being a room they can walk through as a way. So they're thinking of, so that's the thing. And you think about your house, what is there in there that has batteries? You have dozens and dozens of devices in the house that have batteries.
A lot of vacuum cleaners these days too.
That's right. Vacuum cleaners. And look, none of us like the cords.
Yeah.
And so
I'm waiting for them for my laptop, man. Come on. Yeah. Let's have a laptop forever, right? So I love this, and we're dropping the link here, and I love what you're saying. Even if everyone doesn't become a customer here today, they definitely can take this model of, yes, making money, but also doing good in the world. And my question then, you know, in our last 7 minutes is, how did you get involved with Cedarville? Like, what are you doing with this angel network or whatever, Beyond or all this stuff? What did talk to us?
So we pivoted our business model in 2018, and that's when we renamed it as Soteria. So Soteria is
salvation.
It's the Greek word for safety.
Okay.
I was literally looking for words that meant safety in foreign languages so I could just name our company Safety. And I found Soteria, and I found what you just said, which is that it's the word in the New Testament for salvation. And I'm like, okay, that's the name of the company, because that's the two things we're going to do, is we're going to be about God and we're going to be about safety.
That's crazy. And yeah, so, I mean, I used to be a pastor. One of my theology classes was soteriology, the study of salvation. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Wow.
And so and now you got to tell me, what was the question again?
Oh, just the business. How did you then get involved in Cedarville?
So having learned from the mistake I described earlier of inviting all the wrong people in, I started to sift investors by what their intentions were and what their values were. And that led me to the whole faith-driven entrepreneurship, faith-driven investor community, which led me to Cedarville and Beyond Angels. And we were one of the first portfolio companies for Beyond Angels. And they've been great supporters, both financially and spiritually, since then. And
is this it? Is this the thing?
Yeah. That's
wow.
That. And so, you know, for any other entrepreneurs out there, I can't recommend another group higher, right? Do everything you can to get in front of these guys. They did a really good due diligence. They held us to the same standards that any secular investment group would hold us to, even more. But then they kind of personally support us also. So I prayed with the different angels. I've gotten encouragement. So
you're actually a product of Beyond Angels.
Yeah. I mean, they were one of our early investors, and I've grown through our relationship for sure. Right.
That's interesting. So, wow. And there's Dr. Heyman there, and wow, this is big time. Now I know why he wanted me to.
Yeah. No, I know most of the people on the screen now. Right. So
yeah.
Right. I go to their annual meetings when I can. Sometimes I miss one, but
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So what would you tell someone who's maybe more at the start of the game, where they're thinking they're an entrepreneur, they hear the story of like, Brian didn't want to be a leader, but he just kept serving and serving qualified him, and then he was recognized by people as a leader, but then it became a little bit about you and then God. Like, what would you tell somebody who's kind of listening today?
I mean, the first thing is to keep God at the center. The best way to do that is, you know, time with him, whether it's on your knees or walking through the woods. I think they both count, but also in the word. Mm. And just spending time letting him speak to you through your time with the Bible open, right? And that's not always reading, right? Because it's reading and listening and thinking and pondering. And then, you know, the mistake I made was letting it be about me. And I came from a corporate culture where it was about the people. And so I had to get untrained. I had to get that kind of trained out of me. Mm. So that's the mistake I made. And if you can avoid that one earlier, and people may start at a place where they're farther along in their faith than I was then, right? I've been a believer for a long time, but I haven't been a mature believer for very long.
Yeah.
You know, I was an immature believer for a really long time.
Wow. Well, this is super exciting. I think tech and innovation is a slice of entrepreneurship that I really like. So we definitely want to follow your company. And Beyond Angels, I know we mentioned them as well. I'll drop in their link. What would you say here? I know we got about 60 seconds left. What would you like anyone else to know about your company, you, whatever, anything?
I mean, I think I'll go back to the previous question and just say, you know, finding your passion and finding your passion helping other people, that's right. That helps it be about God, right? And keeps it off the right. We are all tempted in one way or another.
Yeah.
And our egos and right. We all have our own idols. And so, sure. You know, keeping it, making it about something bigger than yourself is a way to put yourself under something, under God and under the mission.
That's fantastic. Well, Brian, I know this is powerful, that blending of, you know, yes, making a profit, but not letting greed tip the scale and helping solve a real world problem and how God can be involved. I really think that personally, the marketplace, the business world is really the mission field that I'm called to. And it's the one that is, in my opinion, is exploding. So thank you for all that you are doing and your work in the world.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. No, this has been good. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Cary Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/eMind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.